Episode 92. Drawing ever closer to the century mark. No, not my age. I'm old, I'm not that old. Randy Cantrell, the Yellow Studio, Dallas, Texas. I don't know where you are, but I hope all is well. As we launch forward to episode number 92. Two things are on my mind today. I'll forewarn you. No, it's not going to be a rant, but I might do some riffing. You ever do any riffing? I don't mean on the guitar. I wish I could riff a guitar. If I could just learn a couple of riffs on the guitar, I'd be thrilled. I have said before, and I will continue to say, that the guitar for me is a muse, and I do have a guitar right now in my closet. I've had acoustic guitars. Been watching some, I have DirecTV. And here in the Yellow Studio, I often, the Dan Patrick Show will come on what is affectionately called the 101. They've now changed this thing over to the Audience Network. I don't know if you've noticed that, the Audience Network. And there's a variety of things on there that seem pretty intriguing. Guitar Center has a show on periodically, and they've been touting Peter Frampton and Cake. And these are, you know, it's like it's inside a really cool Guitar Center store. It may be, I don't know. Just kind of a small stage, just walls and walls of guitars behind them. And as I watch those things, and if there's somebody that I'm interested in, and I'm rather interested in both of those, to tell you the truth, Peter Frampton and Cake. One represents my youth, for sure. Peter Frampton was a guitarist for Humble Pie. Yeah, I remember having some Humble Pie records. And, of course, then he came out with his Frampton Comes Alive. And has there ever been anything as phenomenal as that? I don't know that there has been. As far as a live, just right out of the chute. I mean, most people come out with a live record, and this was a live, as I recall, wasn't that a double? I believe that was a double record. You know, and he'd not been out on his own all that long. I mean, most people wait until they've got years and years of stuff, and that thing just took off. It just absolutely exploded. And, man, I know I had that thing on record, and I also had it as an 8-track. For my car. That tells you how old I am. But I'm watching that and I'm thinking about my guitar and I'm thinking, man alive, I do wish I could riff a guitar. But alas, I cannot. So I'm limited to using my voice, riffing with my words. I've caught myself, I always catch myself doing this, but I've been doing this just tons and tons and tons lately, not only with my own life, but in trying to help other people. As we say in sports, coaching people up, just encouraging people is the best word for it. Urging people to just be tenacious. Just don't quit. Just don't let today be the day that you quit. I've recorded some videos about that, and it seems to be a rather common theme among some of the things that I produce and the things that I talk about, because it is so much, it's just so much the fabric of these conversations that I'm having with you. We're all in the same boat, you know. I mean, we're all in the same boat of, am I doing the right stuff? Am I going in the right direction? You know, is this going to work? And I'm having trouble And lately, I'm more cognizant than ever of numbers. People getting all hung up in numbers. I jokingly tell people, listen, if I got hung up in numbers, the rather new, it's about a month old, the Bula Network Facebook page. Yes, shameless promotion coming. Facebook.com/Bula Network, B-U-L-A Network. If I were hung up with numbers, man, I'd have quit a long time ago. That Facebook page is, it's over a month old. 64 likes. 64 likes. I think four of them are people that are outside my, kind of my personal circle, you know. So don't let the numbers fool you. And I don't think you can let the numbers fool you in either direction. I don't think you can let the numbers fool you into thinking that there is some magical number, and if you can hit that number, you know, people are constantly trying to promote themselves to get Twitter followers. And my question as a business guy remains, what is that, other than fueling your ego, what does that do for you? Does that translate into business? Does that translate into customers? Does that, not necessarily. I know some people who've got a pretty magnificent number. I mean, a number you could throw out there and be proud of. Too many people have fallen prey, I think, to this whole social proof kind of a thing. Now, let me tell you, when Robert Cialdini wrote the book Influence, and I read it when it came out, and it's been over three decades, I'm not sure exactly what year. I've got it here somewhere on my shelf. And the copy that I've got, I assure you, is not the copy that you see around today. I mean, my copy was, you know, whatever the first run of this thing was. I could have this completely wrong, so I apologize up front if I'm going to say something that's incorrect. But I'm thinking 82-ish, 80, 82-ish. So we're not talking about some recent, and it's spectacular, don't get me wrong. But so much of what you see happening when it comes to marketing on the internet, you see people after people after people who ascribe what they do to Professor Cialdini. I had nothing wrong with that. I'd love to talk to him, and I would love to ask him, How proud are you that there are tons of just unscrupulous, snarly characters out there that are ascribing their success to, you know, to your studies and your work? I rather suspect he may not be, because it's like any act of persuasion or influence. It can be used for good. It can be used for bad. And when he talked about social proof, I tell you how we all knew it growing up. We all knew it when we got in the back seat of our cars and went on some family trip, and Dad's up front and we're all hungry and we're looking for a place to eat. And Dad always would say, your dad said it, if you're my age, my dad would say it. You know, I mean, we're looking for the place where all the truckers stopped. We're looking for the restaurant where there's lots of cars. Why? Social proof. We're traveling through unknown territory. We're traveling through places that we don't normally travel through, and we want to stop and eat. Now, this was before the days of fast food. Fast food did change all of that. You know, those little local diners, those little local truck stops that we might have stopped at when I was a kid, that gave way to the McDonald's, the Burger King's, the Wendy's of the world, because now, well, look, there's a familiar place. We've got one of those in our town where we live. And so we'd stop, and we knew exactly what was going to be on the menu because it was just identical to the one we had back home. And we knew the quality of the food would be pretty much like the one back home. Spectacular, maybe not, but predictable. Social proof was, man, look, here's a place. Got about 20 trucks parked out front. I mean, you know this place is good. These guys travel all the time. This was the logic. This was the thought process. And you know what? More often than not, we were right. I mean, these guys are, they're on the road. This is what these guys do for a living. There's a reason that they're going to stop at a place. There's a reason that they're not going to go to some other places. And besides that, you know, who wants to pull up into a restaurant? It's the lunch hour or thereabouts, and there's one or two cars in front. And then across the street, there's another one, and there's like 30 cars. Well, which one are you going to go to? Social proof. I think today people get hung up with the numbers because they incorrectly assume that that means there's a crowd. They incorrectly assume that, well, that's equivalent to 30 cars in the parking lot of a restaurant as opposed to two cars in the. Here's the problem. Here's one big, big problem. 30 cars in front of a restaurant, they've not just parked their car, got out, and gone somewhere else. Walked somewhere else. Those 30 cars represented 30 people that were inside that restaurant. How many people? Don't know. Don't know how many people were in each car. Unfortunately, I think today people look at a Twitter count or a Facebook following and they assume, well, that means that many people are watching, observing, and listening and paying attention to this person. And it just simply isn't true. So it's not equivalent. It's really not equivalent to social proof in that way. Do you have people on your Twitter that follow you and you follow them and you send them a message? You respond in some way and they never acknowledge it? You do know people have filters. You do know that there are some people who, well, they will automatically, anybody that follows them, they will follow them back. Now, that doesn't mean that they're listening to you. That doesn't mean that you are part of, it may mean that you're part of their audience, but it doesn't mean that they are part of yours. Appropriately, it has been written about in a number of places for a long, long time. There is a vast difference between a crowd and an audience. But let me give you, for instance, in the retail business, during the Christmas selling season, there is a reason why a retailer can have an event. They can have a sale. And lots of people can come. And every retailer knows that cars in the parking lot foster more cars coming to the parking lot. No cars in the parking lot, good luck. Good luck. Even if you're having an event, because people are going to drive by, well, okay, I mean, how good, what kind of event can it be? I mean, look, there's nobody there. Let's not stop. But if there's a lot of people there, and now go inside that retail store, and if there are a lot of people in there, and if those people, you see those people going up to the counter and putting down their credit card, making purchases, guess what? Okay, now social proof has kicked in. Look, we're looking at this item or that item, and look all these people. These people are up around this counter, and they're buying. They wouldn't be buying. This is the logic that we apply. This is the psychology of the influence and persuasion. These people would not be purchasing stuff here if it weren't a good deal. Translation, it's safe for me to shop here. It's safe. It's going to be safe for me to purchase here because these people think it's a good deal. So it must be a good deal. Now, we don't stop and think, you know, well, all the people at this counter, they could be just absolute blithering idiots. They could be morons being fully taken advantage of. It's not how social proof works. Sometimes we kind of check our logic at the door because, well, it's that herd mentality. We're looking for how can the masses be wrong? Sadly, I use it too frequently as an example. You want to know how the masses can be wrong? Let me give you two words. Brace yourself. And I might make you mad, but you'll get over it. The masses can be wrong. Here's my proof. Two words. Lady Gaga. I'm just saying. I'm not saying she's not talented. 10 million Twitter followers, the first person on the planet to get to 10 million followers. Now, come on, kids. She's not all that. She's a spectacular marketer. That's for sure. I mean, who would have thought that somebody could, school Madonna? I mean, Madonna was just spectacular at marketing. Well, enter Lady Gaga. See ya, Madonna. Well, there's social proof. I mean, there's social proof. She's got fame. She's got it going on. I tip my hat to her marketing prowess. But listen, the masses don't have to get it right. It's just the fact that the masses are involved in it. And so we tend to think, yeah, that's it. Here's the problem for solopreneurs and small business people that are, especially when it comes to social media. We believe that those numbers mean something, that they translate into something. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I know people who are on Twitter and who are on Facebook, and the numbers are stupid low, but they've got thriving businesses. Well, how? How does that happen? Well, it happens in a variety of different ways, because there's all different kinds of business models, and there's all different kinds of ways that people are doing business online and offline. It does stand to reason, we think, that popularity can garner us success. Here's what I believe to be true. I believe that a person could gain some popularity. Lady Gaga is the enormous proof of this. Now, granted, at a really grand scale, she's proof that popularity can be, well, to borrow the word from the internet that we just hear it constantly. Lady Gaga has figured out how to monetize her popularity, but not everybody has. Now, many of us have been longtime fans of the Kevin Kelly article written some years ago. 1,000 true fans. And I think there's definitely something to it. I absolutely positively believe that there is something to 1,000 people, that if you can get 1,000 true fans, but part of the problem is people get hung up in the number 1,000, and they neglect that little phrase that follows it, true fans. There are people who come to BulaNetwork.com, and they come and they leave. They don't click play on any audio. They don't click play on any video. They read headlines, and they're gone. And there are countless websites that you do the same thing. I mean, who's really listening to you? And there are all these mixed messages that we get. We want to chase numbers. We want a number. And then we have the false notion that that number represents true fans. No, it doesn't. It just represents people who've clicked a button somewhere. And because the resistance is so low, meaning, what's the investment I have to make? I come and I visit your blog, and you have a button on your blog, much like I have on mine, that says, you know, give us a like on Facebook. You click it, it takes you over to Facebook, and there's this little like button up at the top, and you click it. Here's the commitment that this person has made to you and your business, your online presence. They have clicked twice. Well, okay, let's go back. They've clicked 3 times because they clicked once to get to your site. They clicked the second time to go to your Facebook page, and they clicked a 3rd time to like your page. I mean, there's the investment that they've made. That's the only thing you know. I'm not saying you can't go back and look at analytics and see, okay, how long are people loitering at my site? What are they looking at? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about for us to get a number, for us to get a higher number. So somebody goes on Twitter and somebody sees somebody retweet something, and hey, I didn't know about this person. They click on that person's profile and they click follow. 2 clicks. my point is, these are the commitments that we're getting from people. We're getting clicks. I'm not minimizing clicks, because there's one huge click that makes all the difference in the world, and you know what that is. It's the click that says buy. But those other clicks don't require much of an investment. They just require, I mean, come on, put your hand on your mouse and click it. Click it. Can you hear my mouse in the background? There's a click. There's another click. Well, my, that was just an awful, that, I mean, two clicks there. There's two clicks I'll never get back. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And you know what it means? Not much. Not much. Now, you want numbers. I'm not crazy. I'm like you. I want numbers. I'm going to tell you why I want numbers. And I'm not telling you I'm right, by the way. I'm just being honest with you. I've grown up in sales and marketing, and I know that in large part, it is a numbers game. Yeah, I grew up as a straight commission sales guy, fully understanding as a teenager, there's a little bit of a numbers game. Now, my objective, selling hi-fi equipment as a high school kid, my objective was, this person that walks in, I want to do everything in my power to dazzle this person, to make sure that I'm helpful, to make sure that this person understands I'm capable, I'm qualified, I'm competent, I can help them. I want to do everything in my power to get their business. I want to earn their business. Well, guess what? It didn't take me long at all to figure out you're not going to sell everybody. Why? Well, everybody's different. College kid comes in. He's looking at loudspeakers. He's not ready to buy. He doesn't have the money to buy. He's in full-blown lust mode. He's lusting after speakers. Might he one day get the money to be able to buy them? Yep, but not today. And I get him. He comes in. He's a shopper. I spend 30 minutes. We play all kinds of music. We listen to all kinds of loudspeakers. Problem, he hadn't got a dime in his pocket. He couldn't buy a pair of speakers if he had to. But still, I spend time. Why? He may one day. His ship may come in one day, and he may have the money to buy these speakers. And he's here. I'm here. My attitude then is very much my attitude now. It's opportunity. He's here. I'm here. I mean, why should I just blow him off? And you do realize that people don't come into retail locations like that and immediately disclose their financial situation. I mean, customers don't often come in and say, listen, I've just got big time speaker envy, but I don't have a dollar to my name. But I'd like for you to spend 30 minutes. I'd like to waste 30 minutes of your time and have you show me everything that you've got. And I'd like to listen to as many of these speakers as I can. I'm not going to buy today. I don't know when I'm going to buy. I may never be able to afford to buy a pair of speakers. No, it doesn't happen that way. We talk to people. We get to know people. But these are relationships. Now, they may only be relationships that last for 30 minutes, but it's still a relationship. And I rather viewed it as an opportunity for me to hone my craft, an opportunity for me to help somebody, an opportunity for me to teach and educate somebody, and an opportunity that if it didn't pan out today, it may pan out tomorrow. But I very quickly learned this whole notion of, well, we used to call it closing ratio. What's a closing ratio? A closing ratio is for every 10 people that I might help in that environment selling hi-fi gear, how many of those people could I sell? Now, I came in very naively thinking, you know, well, most of them. Well, that's not necessarily true. And a lot of it depends on the opportunities that you get. Go ask anybody that works in a mall location or people that might work in a more heavily trafficked tourist type situation. What's the closing ratio? Well, it's going to be significantly lower than it would be if you worked in a location that was a destination place. Why? We get a lot of people through here. And a lot of these people are just, they're just kicking tires. They're just looking. They're just spending some time. But if we're in a location where shoppers have to drive specifically to come see us, well, the odds are that person walking through the door is a bit more serious. Now, today, especially online, it's called a conversion ratio. How many people are you able to convert? If you get so many visitors to your website, how many of those people can you convert to a customer? How many of them click buy? Well, that's an important statistic. And so I get the numbers game when it comes to all of that. Why? Well, bigger's better. The higher the number, the better. If we've got 100 followers and our conversion rate is 2%, 4%, there's four sales, there's two sales. And sometimes we get instantly caught up into thinking, well, if I got that 100 followers up to 200, I'm doubling my sales if all things remain the same. The problem in social media and the problem with the online numbers game is these people don't necessarily represent people who are interested in buying anything from you. Some of this is just reciprocal behavior. Case in point, have you ever followed somebody and found immediately they followed you back? Or have you followed some big name person? Let's say you follow Lady Gaga. Let's say that at some point, and I don't know who the people who run her social media campaigns, I don't know what they clearly don't reciprocate with everybody. But let's say that when they started, they did, because we were all just trying to figure it out. So let's say that you were one of the first people to follow Lady Gaga and she followed you back. Are you ever going to sell Lady Gaga anything? Well, you might. I mean, maybe you sew just outrageous, crazy costumes. She might be your perfect customer. I have a nom de plume, a pen name, if you please. And years ago, when Twitter, you know, first began, my pen name followed a few people. And some of these were big name people, and they followed me back. Those people no longer do that. There are some big name people who still follow my pen name, but they don't follow my real name. And my pen name, by the way, tweets twice a year. Well, that'd be a heavy year. Do you see the point? The numbers don't necessarily represent what you think they do. You think that they provide opportunity, and I'm telling you, no, they don't necessarily mean for you opportunity. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't try to be popular? I don't know. I mean, come on. You know you're listening to the wrong guy when it comes to the quest for popularity. I don't yet have 1,000 people following me on Twitter as I record this in June of 2011. I don't know when you're listening to it. By the time you're listening to this, I may be wildly popular. Boy, I hope so. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Well, only if it means that I'm reaching people who I can help. And there's the rub. Are you able to reach the people that you really need to reach, the people that you want to reach? I can only speak for myself. I want to reach the people that I can help. And I want to leave you with this, well, it may be a profound thought. I think in many ways it is, and it's not because it's my thought. It just happens to be true. You do know, don't you? You do know that the people that you follow, the people that, well, let's call them peers. Now, we understand that many of them are not our peers. Many of them are vastly, wildly more successful than we are when it comes to having a following. We may be following book authors, public speakers, people that are celebrities. You do know that those people are not your audience, don't you? You do know that those people are not your prospects. You're not going to set, if Lady Gaga is someone that you follow, and if perchance she followed you back, what does that do for you other than you being able to tell people, hey, Lady Gaga follows me? Nothing. The odds are that the people that you need to reach and the people that would buy from you are people that you may not be following, but they're following you. So I rather think it's important that we get busy instead of chasing our tail and trying to drive numbers. I think it's rather important that we pay closer attention to who's listening, who's watching us, who's paying attention to us, who's finding our voice, some voice that they find appealing for whatever reason. They like what we say. They like how we say it. They like what we write. They like our personality, whatever. I think it's rather important to focus on them. You know, if I were to focus on the people that can't stand me, the people that hate what I do, what does that do for me? And if I spend my time trying to morph and trying to adapt and try to be something that I'm not, so that those people who hate who I am, while being genuine to who I am, well, that's just a road of tremendous frustration and failure. No, if you're going to have a rewarding life online, I think it's rather important that you understand the numbers that are meaningful, and the numbers that are meaningful are the people that know you, the people that like you, the people that find value in what you do. How can you get to know them? How can you find them? That needs to be the quest that you set out upon. Hey, BulaNetwork.com is the website. We are a company designed to teach, inspire, and encourage higher human performance in education and business. The education element, that happens over at leaningtowardwisdom.com. But here at Bula Network, primarily we are focused about business, personal development, just higher achievement. Yeah, we're all over the place, no question. Should we be more focused? Probably. Are we going to be? Probably not. Just kind of go where the interest is and kind of go where the conversations take us. I'd love to have you join. Just plug in your email address over there at the right-hand side. Join the list. Send me your feedback, 214-736-4406. You can send me emails. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is the Yellow Studio in Dallas, Texas. Till next time, see ya.